Have you ever heard of seasonal affective disorder, where people experience depression related to the changing of seasons? Well, Gloria Furman says many moms experience something she likes to call seasonal obsessive disorder.
I'm in this season. She's in that season. I kind of want that one instead. And we covet a season that God's given someone else, when honestly we're all in the same season, the season of life. We have life.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of A 30-Day Walk with God in the Psalms, for October 12, 2018.
Well, yesterday we heard a conversation between two moms who both have a heart for the Lord. Erin Davis has four children, and she also helps Revive Our Hearts with various writing projects. At a national conference for the Gospel Coalition, Erin connected with Gloria Furman. Now, Gloria is the wife of Dave Furman, who's the pastor at Redeemer Church in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Gloria also has four children, and she's written a book called Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full. And she knows all about having full hands. We'd like to send you a copy of Gloria's book today when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. I'll be giving you more details on that later in today's program. Now, if you missed part one of this conversation, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. Now, we often hear how important it is to persevere when marriage is tough, or motherhood is tough, or when anything in life is tough. But the flip side of that is that the Lord doesn't just want us to persevere, to grit our teeth and get through that tough season. He also wants to give us joy in the things that He's called us to do. Erin and Gloria are going to talk about that as they continue this conversation. So here they are, recorded at the Gospel Coalition National Conference.
In your book, you say there is more to be said about a mother's work than the fact that it is hard and never done. And I love that, because I think for some reason the narrative that we have for motherhood is it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. The same as what we say about marriage. It's like, can we come up with something new to say about marriage other than it's hard? And I think the same is true about motherhood. I think a lot of what we're hearing is it's hard, do it anyway. So what impact do you think it's having on mamas not to hear hopeful messages about their role?
Oh, well, it turns the story of motherhood into an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And possibly even something that diminishes them.
Yeah.
I have these kids. Gosh, if I didn't, think of what I could be or do.
Yeah.
This season of motherhood just keeps dragging. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I can't wait till they're 18.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really sad way to live.
Yeah.
Every day knowing I'm drudging through this thing.
I think we can wish away every stage if we're not careful.
Yeah.
We can't wait till this baby starts sleeping through the night. We can't wait till this toddler's potty trained. We can't wait till they're in school. We can't wait till they're... And then they are gone. And
right. We talk a lot about seasons.
Yeah.
And defining them. And then we have... You've heard of seasonal affective disorder?
Yes. Where, like, in the winter, you get more sad. Sure.
Yeah. I think we have seasonal obsessive disorder. I'm in this season. She's in that season. I kind of want that one instead.
Yeah.
And we covet a season that God's given someone else, when honestly we're all in the same season, the season of life.
Yeah.
We have life in spite of the curse, spite of death. We've been given life. We're all currently in the season of life. And if you're in Christ, you're in the same season you're going to be in forever. You are in Christ. 30 trillion years from now, you're going to be doing the same thing that you could be doing today, worshiping Jesus in all things. So there's your season. That's how long your season will last.
Right.
You don't want to be out of that season. So seeing that as the over, all-encompassing lens through which you view everything, I'm in a season of life in Jesus Christ forever. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do to change it, because He's sealed us in His own hands.
You talk about bringing our subjective insecurities as mothers in line with the objective reality of our eternal security in Christ. And that sounds really big. But I'm interested in what that looks like as a mom, because I think motherhood can really exaggerate our insecurities and make us feel insecure. So what about that mom who's insecure because she doesn't know what she's doing, or she's insecure because she doesn't think she's the mom her kids need, or she's insecure because she feels like she's destined to mess her kids up? How do we bring that under the eternal security that the gospel provides?
I packed a school lunch for my kindergartner and received it all back at the end of the day, which is common. She'll pick through, I don't like that, or this or that.
Yeah.
And that happened multiple times. And then I was chatting with her teacher, and I said, I don't know what my kid's doing at lunch, if she's talking or just sitting there, but if you could let me know.
She's not eating.
If you observe anything weird, I keep getting lunch back. And she said, okay. And then she came back to me, and she said, she just kind of looks at other kids' food, and she doesn't want what she has. Hmm. And my instinct was like, oh, the teacher thinks I'm the kind of mom who doesn't know what her kid likes.
Oh, yeah.
My insecurity was rearing its ugly head, and I started to think, like, what does she think of me? Does she think that I, like, need serious help? I need to be in a group of support group of moms who don't know their children, and what am I even doing? And she's seen hundreds of kindergarten kids, and, like, I'm the only one who has this issue, and all the other kids have food they want. And then my daughter, like, doesn't think all this stuff.
I think every mom can relate to that crazy brain.
But yes, it spiraled within a split second.
Sure.
It went, I jumped straight into all of these subjective feelings about my insecurities as a mom, which honestly probably is only thing to do with it is she just kind of doesn't want what I've given her.
Right.
Okay.
Right. She wanted you to pack a lunchbox full of candy.
Yeah.
And you didn't. Right.
Right.
Sure.
But my heart leapt to evaluating myself and my feelings in light of what somebody might think, maybe, probably not.
Yeah.
About me. And I was prepared to start acting on that relationship and feeling insecure and saying things to boost myself around the teacher. Hmm. So I can see how that all plays out. I can totally relate to the woman who is fretful of her subjective feelings and not understanding of that objective thing of being in Christ forever. So understanding that, that you're prone to that, I think is the first step, like admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
Would be number one. Number two, talking to somebody about it. There's so much encouragement to be had with telling another mom, like, I totally did this. I went there in my heart and have them go, I did it too.
Yeah.
And see, we're not being tempted with anything uncommon.
Sure.
So if we're not tempted with anything uncommon, we have the gospel that ministers to both of us. So let's all preach the gospel to ourselves and remembering those objective truths about who Christ is and who he says we are and who he says he is.
Yeah. I wonder what measuring stick the gospel provides for motherhood. So I think, you know, without the gospel, we can only measure our success as a mom if our kids grow up to be doctors. Or we can only measure our success as a mom if we have these tricked out playrooms like we see on Pinterest. Or I don't even, you know, all these things that we're trying to measure, am I a good mom with, and they're not working. So what does the gospel and God's word, what measuring stick does it give us for whether or not we're good moms?
Faithfulness. Mm. And it's not necessarily all about our faithfulness, but his faithfulness.
Yeah.
So the measuring stick is broken because he's faithful, period.
Yeah.
For whatever situation that you're in. I think we like to compare. Like, oh, you have a six-year-old, me too. But it's not the same.
Yeah.
Your six-year-old is different than mine. And our context is different. Their struggles, my struggles, our capacities. But God's faithfulness is the same. So it doesn't necessarily matter how God provides for our family, but the fact that he's the one providing. I think when we can see that the measuring stick doesn't really exist, like it's in your mind.
Yeah.
And that he's faithful, then we can just keep looking to him instead of looking sideways to see how we're doing.
Yeah. Which is stamping eternity
on our eyeballs.
On your eyeballs.
Right.
This is a great place to land. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Aaron Davis and Gloria Furman. Our team connected with them at one of the Gospel Coalition's national conferences. They've been talking about embracing your current calling, whatever it might be, your current role, with joy. No matter what God may have called you to right now, I want you to know that you don't just have to endure it grudgingly. Christ can give you joy right where you are. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that all the circumstances are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that any of your circumstances will be easy. But it does mean that there can be joy that comes from the presence of Christ in the midst of those challenges. Aaron will be back in just a moment with more practical advice on this topic. But first, I want to let you know a good way to follow up with what you've just heard. Our guest today, Gloria Furman, has written a book called Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full. I think for me, that phrase, that title, could apply in just about every season of life. This book will help you make staying close to Jesus your number one goal, no matter how busy or how chaotic your life may seem. And I'll just say this from personal experience. I find that when I make it a priority to stay close to Christ, to live in His Word, to live in His presence, to take time to cultivate my relationship with Him, it has a way of calming my heart and my circumstances and reducing the chaos at least a bit. Well, we'd like to send this book from Gloria as our way of saying thank you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. We're able to air programs like what you've heard today thanks to the support of listeners like you. So if you appreciate the biblical, practical insights that you hear day after day from Revive Our Hearts, would you consider what you can do this month to help this ministry continue? And be sure to ask for the book by Gloria Furman when you call with your gift of any size. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us at reviveourhearts.com and you can make your donation there. We'll send one book per household with your donation this week. Now, Gloria and Aaron have been talking about embracing God's calling on your life with joy. I'd like to take a moment to dig deeper into that with Erin. Right now, her main job is raising four young boys, and she knows how easy it is to get discouraged in the middle of that important job. Here's what discouragement looks like to Erin.
Here are the ways that it comes out in my own life. A lot of huffing and puffing. Oh, we have to do this again. A lot of kind of throwing up my hands, losing my cool, also using the word overwhelmed to describe my life more often than I use words like blessed, happy, fulfilled. If I didn't have these children, I wouldn't be so overwhelmed. Well, if I didn't have these children, I also wouldn't have a lot of really wonderful things. So I'm choosing to focus on that. Something that used to happen at my house a lot more often, and I try not to let it happen as much anymore, is that as soon as my husband walks in the door, I announce, I am off duty. I can't handle these children one more minute. And the message is, oh, these children are wearing me down. I am miserable in this parenting role. But if someone were to come to me and say, do your children make you happy? I would say, yes, of course. You want to see their picture? But in reality, I'm living like if I didn't have these children, I would be less stressed. I would be happier. My body would return to its 18-year-old version of itself. All of those things that I think would make me happy.
But the fact is, there is a lot about parenting that is challenging. And depending what the season of life is, there may be sleepless nights or screaming kids or sick kids or restricted schedules. So we're not saying that if you embrace motherhood as a sacred role, that all that stuff goes away and life becomes easy.
That's right. Life isn't easy as a parent. Life isn't easy if you're not a parent. But there are those elements of parenthood that are always going to be there, and they can be cumbersome. But 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The thing about God and His Word that is so strange and hard to understand, it's such a great mystery, is that those things are a blessing in that they force us to depend on God, and they reveal our need for Him, and they reveal His goodness to us and His grace towards us. So if you want a formula for how to make your baby sleep through the night, I don't have it. My son Noble didn't sleep through the night until he was a year and a half old. And if you want to make your toddler behave, I don't know how to tell you how to do it, but I do know that when that baby wasn't sleeping through the night, I was pressed into prayer in a way that I never had been before because I couldn't do it in my own strength. I was exhausted. And when Eli, my toddler, pushes against me and presses against me and I am at my wit's end and there is no way I can have self-control on my own, it presses me into God in new ways. So am I always happy as a mom? No. But the lesson is that happiness really isn't the end goal. Easy Street never leads us anywhere we want to go anyway. Easy Street just takes us to boring places. But happiness.
Some are thinking, I'd like to try that.
She'd like to try it out for her own. I understand that. I'd like to walk down Easy Street every once in a while. But that child may make your life more difficult. But stop focusing on that
And are they a hindrance to your happiness? Maybe. But they are the way to so many other things that are so much richer than happiness. So the lie is my children are a hindrance to my happiness. Okay, get over it and focus on all the things that they do to enrich your life.
And Erin, what you just shared there is so crucial, not just for young moms, but for women, for men, for every one of us in every season of our lives. As I often say here on Revive Our Hearts, anything that makes me need God is a blessing. It's a blessing. I latch onto His grace in a way I wouldn't otherwise do if I didn't feel so desperate and so needy and so overwhelmed. And that's where we see the power of God displayed in such great ways. When it's our weakness matched up to His grace, then we see it, the kids see it, the people around us see it. They know we're weak, but they see that He is strong. And it becomes a way of displaying the greatness and the power of God, which is really what our calling is all about.
We teach our children that song from very early on. Yes, Jesus loves me. We are weak, but He is strong. And as moms, that is so true. We are weak to mother well, but He is strong. He is faithful. And if your children are a daily, or sometimes at my house, but minute by minute reminder of God's strength in light of my weakness, how could I complain about that?
And I'll tell you, in order to counter the lies, we need to learn to counsel our hearts according to the truth. And I think there's a mom listening right now who just needs to say it out loud.
That's
your kids
right.
May be there. Somebody else may be around and they may think you're nuts. But just say, His grace is sufficient for me.
At my
His
house,
grace is sufficient
we
for me.
We frequently pray for fruits of the Spirit. And I will say to my children, Mommy is struggling. We're going to ask Him for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And when my children are struggling, I'm able to say to them, and they've seen it, you can't do this on your own, buddies. We're going to stop, and we're going to ask for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So, Mom, you feel like you're going to blow your top? It's a teachable moment, not a burden.
Yeah. We are weak.
Absolutely.
But He is strong.
Always. He's
amen,
so strong.
Amen. That's so good. Well, you address a number of other lies in this book about motherhood, and we can't spend a long time on the others, but let's just touch on what some of those are, because I know a lot of women will relate to these. One lie that's being told moms is that motherhood is defined by the decision of whether or not to work. And when we say that, we mean work outside the home, because every mom works.
That's right.
But for a lot of moms in our generation, it's been their success as a mother has been defined by whether or not they choose to work outside the home. Speak to that for a minute.
I'm so tired of the conversations about modern motherhood revolving around this question. Am I a good mom if I work? Can I stay at home and be a mom? Can I work and be a good mom? I feel like this focuses our attention on the pixels and we miss the big picture. And what I've seen is stay-at-home moms are miserable because they feel like if I had something outside the home, I'd be more fulfilled. I'd be doing something more meaningful. And this is what my stay-at-home mom friends tell me. And working moms are feeling like, oh, if I was able to be home with my kids more, I'd have better balance. I'd be a better mom. So stay-at-home moms are miserable and looking on the other side of the fence. Working moms are standing on the other side of the fence looking at stay-at-home moms, thinking that the grass is greener on their side. And we're caught in this revolving door of talking about working versus staying home, working versus staying at home. And the real question is, will you use your family to do something huge for the kingdom of God?
Okay, there's another lie, which I think a lot of women wrestle with, mothers or not mothers, but particularly when it comes to motherhood. And that is that the ultimate goal of motherhood is perfectionism.
That's right.
The pressure to mother perfectly. Is there a woman who doesn't feel that?
I don't know her. I've never met her. This is a huge lie. And the friend of mine who revealed it to me is a great mom. She's like a poster child for a great mom. She has 4 kids plus foster children. She homeschools them. She's always calm. She has great hair. I mean, she is a perfect mom. And when I interviewed her for this book, I had no idea that this would be an area that she would hone in on. And she talked about that she gets 2 messages from the culture about motherhood. The first is that her children are a distraction from her and what she wants. And the second is, but if you're going to mother, you better do it perfectly. You better raise great kids that are perfectly behaved and do perfectly in school. You need to manage date nights with your husband once a month. You need to have a perfectly clean home. You need to be instilling this, this, and this. You got to be piping Mozart into your womb. You got to be doing flashcards when they're in their high chair, on and on and on. And so she is a mom. And she sees the kingdom value of it, but she's in this pressure cooker where she feels like she has to do it perfectly, and she's not doing it perfectly. And so she continues to struggle in her role.
So what do you say to that mom?
I think we just have to realize how unrealistic it is. And culture is sending us that message across the board. It always bothers me, those celebrity moms who are on the cover of a magazine. She gave birth 3 days ago, and now look at her in this bikini. It's so completely unrealistic. And so to some degree, we have to just shut those messages out and not let them filter in. But Paul, again, encourages us with some great words in Scripture. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I've already attained this, or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So the beauty of exposing lies is that once you're aware of it, you have the power to do something about it. But that's not enough. You're going to have to replace it with God's truth. And God's truth is, yep, you're not perfect, but press on. Because the perfect one has already redeemed you. And he who has started a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. And he's not interested in perfection from you. So be faithful to walk through your calling and to depend on him. But Jesus isn't asking you to do it perfectly. He's asking you to do it well and to depend on him. And that's all that you can do. And so when you start to feel that pressure to have a perfect house, perfect body, perfect marriage, perfect children, just call it out as a lie. And that's what it is. And replace it with God's truth.
And I think a cousin to that lie is another one that you addressed, which is that motherhood will make you holy.
That's right.
You either have to be perfect or motherhood will make you a godly woman. And that's a lie, too.
It seems counterintuitive to place that lie in the same chapter with these other lies about mothering perfectly or motherhood being a hindrance to your happiness. But I think it's just as dangerous. And we're in danger of swinging the pendulum too far in the other direction. You don't get any more holy with each baby that you bring home. It doesn't give you preferred parking in heaven to have a bunch of children. There's no automatic sanctification that happens just by being a mom. And I think it really boils down to entitlement for a lot of moms. They feel like, this is hard work, and doesn't God see what I'm doing? And they feel entitled to whatever, fill in the blank, because they're working hard as mothers. Or maybe it's not directed at God. Maybe it's directed at their husbands. That's probably more often the case. Doesn't he know how hard I'm working as a mom? I deserve me time. I deserve girls' nights out. I deserve a bigger house to contain this. I deserve on and on and on. Or I deserve from my children because of all I do for them. And certainly they should be grateful, and that's something you're going to have to teach them. But this attitude of I deserve something, or I'm holier than you are because I'm a mom, or I'm a better Christian because I'm a mom, it doesn't really hold water when we hold it up to God's word. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us being a mom is going to make us more holy.
That's Erin Davis. She's been talking with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth about how motherhood can push you closer to the Lord. And that's true for whatever God has called you to. It will expose your neediness and help you lean on the Lord. Earlier in the program, we heard from Gloria Furman. She wrote a book that will help you stay focused on the Lord no matter what busy task is in front of you. It's called Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full. Like Nancy said, we'll send you a copy as our way of saying thank you when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Get more details at reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. Recognize this sound? Water figures prominently in Scripture, from creation to Revelation. But how does water teach us about God's power or help strip us of self-reliance? On Monday, Nancy will take us through the Old Testament book of Exodus to explain ways water can be a learning experience for God's people. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth wants you to experience the joy of the Lord, whatever season you're in. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.